Thankful to Adrian for leading the meeting tonight. Adrian jumped on me this morning, and this afternoon I jumped on Johnny, and that's the way it went. I've been thinking of a few verses from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. It's highly emotional listening your son giving his testimony, and so forgive me if I'm a bit emotional. I haven't quite got over it. Ephesians chapter 2, reading from verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our way of life, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Just want to read one further verse of scripture from Amos. Amos. And chapter 3, you've no need to turn to it. In just one verse, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? May the Lord bless this reading of his own precious word to our hearts. I was just mainly thinking of this little verse from prophecy of Amos. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The Word of God often reduces everything down to just two. In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord spoke about two ways. He spoke about a broad way and a narrow way, one leading to life, the other leading to destruction. In Luke chapter 18, he spoke about two men, a publican and a Pharisee, who both went up to the temple to pray. The publican would not so much as lift his head towards heaven, but smote himself on the breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. But the Pharisee, he took all the time in telling God how good he was. But one went down to his house justified, and of course it was the publican, realizing what he was before God. And also two brothers. The beginning of the scriptures, we read of two brothers, Cain and Abel. And both approached God, which tells us that they were both religious. They both approached God with a sacrifice. But only one came God's appointed way, the way of sacrifice. Cain came by the sacrifice of his own hands. He was a tiller of the ground. He did the best he could, but he didn't come God's way. And very sadly, in Northern Ireland, many do the best they can. And they seek to be good neighbors, which is good. They're kind to others, which is good. And they help in every situation, which is good. But it's not coming God's way, because we're born in sin and we're shapen in iniquity. And God's way is the way of the old rugged cross. And the Lord seems to reduce everything down to two. And here in Amos chapter 3, the question is asked, can two walk together except they be agreed? At the very beginning of our Bibles, we realize that there are two. Adam and the Lord, and they're walking together in full harmony. They're walking together in fellowship. They're walking together in communion. But something happened in chapter 3. Sin entered. Sin entered that blissful scene, and it brought separation. It brought separation between the Creator and His creature. And no longer was there agreement. No longer did man walk with God. Man was out of step with God. He went his own way. And beloved, sin brings separation. It brings separation from us by nature and God who is holy. And the question is asked, can these two walk together without agreement? Man's walk by nature is away from God. We've read that in Ephesians chapter 2. Paul, the Apostle Paul, says, "Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." This was our course and is our course by nature. Beloved, I had the great privilege of being brought up in a Christian home as Johnny had. And I was brought up to hear the gospel from my earliest years. And I can remember going to missions, as we called them, gospel meetings then. And they stretched out maybe 10 weeks long. A wee boy sitting in meetings, listening to the sound of the gospel, the same message all the time concerning our need, concerning the person who could meet our need. But my course, even as a boy, was away from that by nature. I didn't want it by nature. I was sitting there, it was good. I was sitting there, I was listening, apparently. But by nature, I was going another way in my heart. How then, beloved, can man and God walk together when man is condemned already, when man is a broken sinner, and God is just and holy and must judge sin? How can two walk together? If two are to walk together, there must first be a place of meeting. Beloved, if I was to go for a walk with you tonight, and I was walking with you, we'd need to meet at a certain point. Otherwise, we wouldn't be walking together. There must be a point of meeting. And dear friends, in the gospel tonight, the glorious message concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, there's a place of meeting. And that place is Calvary's cross. Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Without the cross of Calvary, I would still be in my sins. Without that blessed person, the Lord Jesus, leaving the throne of heaven, coming down here, and living a perfect, spotless life, and then going and laying down his life as an atonement for my sins, I would still be in my sins, but for him. The place of meeting is Calvary's cross. And the person who there offered up his life without spot unto God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. There's no need to perish tonight. Christ has paid the price for our sins. He has died upon the cross for our sins. He had no sins of his own. He was the spotless, holy Lamb of God. But he died for me. He took my place and died for me. Think of tonight that there must be a place of meeting. I wonder, have you ever got to Calvary? Has there ever been a time when you realized that Jesus died for you? Salvation is such a personal thing. Paul, I know it's been quoted many times, but Paul did not say, "For God so loved the world." He said, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Has that ever been your experience, that you have realized that Jesus loves me? "This I know, for the Bible tells me so." Yes, he is the meeting place. In the Old Testament scriptures, in Exodus chapter 25, we have a wonderful foreshadowing of the meeting place. Well, the Lord said to Moses, "And thou shalt put the mercy seat above and upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat." The mercy seat in the Old Testament, the high priest came in just once a year into the tabernacle, into the holy place, and he had to carry with him the blood of the sin offering. And when he came in, he sprinkled the blood of the sin offering before and on the mercy seat, and he could not stay. He had to withdraw, and the blood remained there all year, and God's eye was upon the blood. And that was the meeting place where the blood was shed, where the blood was applied. And dear friends, that's where God meets us. God meets us at Calvary. God's eye is upon the sacrifice that Christ made at Calvary. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And dear friends, if we are to walk together, there must first be a meeting place. And that meeting place is the cross of Christ. And if we were to walk together tonight, there would have to be a time of meeting. You know, if I said, "Well, we'll meet together at 8 o'clock. Well, that would be the time of meeting. There was a time of meeting tonight when you came to the meeting. Meeting started at a certain time. We were here together at a certain time. And God has a time of meeting. And God's time of meeting is now. It's now. It's not yesterday, for yesterday's gone. It's not tomorrow, for that's not promised to any of us. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. For we know not what a day may bring forth." And beloved, if you hear his voice now, not Tom Rice's voice, what does that matter? If you hear his voice tonight, harden not your heart. This is the day of opportunity. This is the day when you can come to Christ. No one knows. And each one of us know that. Each one of us knows we can't guarantee another heartbeat. We know that. Today is the day of opportunity. The old hymn says, "Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you." Hallelujah. He will save you now. For two to walk together, there must be a time of meeting. There must be a place of meeting. For two to walk together, they must be going the same way. And dear friends, if we were to walk together and you started off going to the left and I started off going to the right, we wouldn't be walking the same way. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All man's ways sadly end in death. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God's way leads to life and life eternal. For God's way is the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14 and verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way save the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect way to God. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. When man fell in the Garden of Eden, the Lord placed at the east of the garden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way. Isn't that interesting? Every way to keep the way of the tree of life. God cuts off every other way, but the way through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we think, dear friends, that the Lord Jesus, when he died upon the cross, and when he rose again and entered into heaven, he opened up that new and living way. When he cried, it is finished, he paid the debt of my sins and yours. And he offers salvation tonight to the whosoever will. Now that includes you. That includes me, praise God. How wonderful that when we read this verse, can two walk together, that there is a conclusion to it, except they be agreed. Dear friends, when I look in this book, I read that I, by nature, am a sinner. I look at my heart, I have no difficulty agreeing with that. I am a sinner. When I look at this book, it tells me that there's only one Savior. When I look to Bethlehem, when I look to Calvary, when I look to the right hand of God, I have no trouble agreeing with that. There is only one Savior. I wonder tonight, have you trusted him? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Dear friends, when we think of these things, they're eternal things. It's an eternal question. We trust tonight that some will agree with God as to their need and as to the only person who can meet it, our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight.